Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk.
And now it's time for expert analysis from the best in the game.
This is B-She's Wrestling
with Mike Davidson.
I'm a former producer of wrestling, and I had to tell people, here's what I need in a promo, here's what I need in a match, and here's why you have to do it. You tried to be cute, you tried to be clever, and you came off undervaluing the guy the promoter is paying thousands of dollars to get into the ring with you.
Special guest star, the Mecca, Shane Madison.
Jealousy is something that the Mecca Shane Madison has had to deal with my entire life.
It doesn't matter, because I guarantee that the Mecca will win.
And producer Chris.
He's just a money-making machine, that guy. As somebody who's featured regularly on their program, I don't think he's going to be able to take enough time away from his other adventures. The guy is a mogul.
And now,
B-She's Wrestling.
B-She's Wrestling.
As Winnipeg approaches one of the busiest weeks in wrestling history in this town, we get ready for episode 103 of B-She's Wrestling, and we're kicking it old school. The Mecca, Shane Madison, not available tonight. So rather than get a guest to come in and take his chair, I decided we'd do it like old school B-She's, where producer Chris and I would just shoot the she's. No format. We are just going to try to give you guys an hour of pure wrestling entertainment. We're going to do our absolute best with that, and let's get started with something big. Okay. Do you know that a couple weeks from now, there will be three huge major wrestling events in Winnipeg in the span of 5 days?
My gosh.
It starts with April to the 28th, which is Night at the Museum.
Right.
And that is WPW. It's sold out. They sold out 600 tickets in 80 minutes, like an hour and a half, basically. You go WPW, double main event. It's Tyler Colton defending the WPW heavyweight title against James Roth.
Right.
And then the other main event or feature matchup will be Matt Cardona versus Josh Alexander.
Yes, and that's a match that I didn't get tickets for this event, so I'm going to be on the outside looking in.
Is that your way of trying to hope that Devin and Ben throw you something as
media?
That would be
very nice. but the Matt Cardona-Josh Alexander match is going to be insane. It's going to be so... These are two guys, and I'm already a big fan of Alexander.
Yeah.
I've never seen Cardona live other than WWE events, so I haven't seen what he's doing on the indies.
This is something that Devin and Ben did right, is when you get a guy like Matt Cardona, you think about, okay, should he go against AJ Sanchez, and that would be a good matchup? Should he go against, you know, go up and down that roster? There's four or five great guys.
Sure, Bobby Shank, anybody.
Yeah, and you could have done that. But because of the way their angles have all culminated to this night at the museum, they have underneath everything tied together beautifully that it made perfect sense for them to do this, where it's an entire industry independent wrestling dream match.
Yes.
Between Cardona and Alexander. And I give them a lot of credit, because so many times a promoter or booker would think, oh, we got to give the local guys a rub, or we got to give the core talent a rub. And what they did is, and they announced that match after selling out the tickets. So it's not even like they did it because they knew it's called stealing a house.
No, it's like a little bit of garnish they've thrown on for the fans.
Yeah, for the fans that bought tickets snap. Yep. So well done to them. It's going to be great. They announced their summer schedule, WPW's summer schedule. It slows down a little bit in the summer. They're going to do that outdoor venue they did last year. I think it was called... you'll have to look it up, but it's an outdoor event downtown that they did once last year. They're going to do that twice in July and August. They're going to dial back the schedule. And that's probably because, and I'm just speculating here, that they're going to be setting up for their second show at the BERT, which will come up in September, October, probably October. So they're setting their schedule so they're not overwhelming their fan base by giving them too many events.
So is it sort of the Vern Gagne model, where they sort of wind down a bit for the summer? Because I notice it's happening a little bit in Winnipeg in general, a little bit of a wind down.
So every year... every year after WrestleMania, there is not necessarily a decline in fan interest, because I think the fan interest stays up. It's actually more a case where, as you can go outside in Canada, you're used to being indoors for the winter. So as you can get outside and do more, you want to do things like walk around the forks or go for Dairy Queen or whatever it is you do as an outdoor activity, play softball or slow pitch or whatever it is, rollerblade through a park. You have all those things you want to do. And that's why sometimes it's harder to get them to come in on a Friday night and go to a local wrestling show, right?
Yes. So no question about that.
Yeah.
And we do have those dates for WPW, May 24th, West End Cultural Center, July 26th, Blue Note Park. And they got one coming up August 23rd as well. So there's a little bit of time between these dates.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to add Rec Room to that schedule as well, because they've been doing very well there.
Yeah.
But I think what they're probably trying to do is scale back so that they can hit heavier for the show at the BERT.
One thing we should talk about, I don't know if we've ever talked about WPW, the fact the venues that they have, and they keep going back to these great venues, has got to be the envy of Western Canada, if not Canada in general, because finding a venue, you can speak to this, how hard is it to find a good venue? It's not easy.
Well, it's not. It's usually costly.
Yeah.
Is usually your challenge, is to find one that works for the budget, for the business model.
Because they've got the West End. They've got the Rec Room.
And we've talked about this before. They do this with the BERT. They do it with the museum. They do it with West End Cultural Center, where they've really built, that's where they built their brand. And when you talk about venues, I used to say the word profile venue, and I think that's unfair, because you can make any venue your own, right?
Right.
Like, for instance, what they do at that outdoor Blue Note Park, they're going to turn that into an electric atmosphere because their fans are going to be electric, right? If you put people who are enthusiastic into any venue, it can work. I've been a little critical in the past and saying, well, you should have a profile venue, and you should try to. But it's sometimes you'll find a venue that costs $5,000 and you could sell it out and still lose money.
Yeah.
What would be the point of running that? And venues do this because they're in the business of, oh, well, we got to pay all of our staff to host this event. So we got to have our cleaner, we got to have this, and we got to have that
right.
looked after. And we still want to make our profit. There's got to be a happy medium with venues. Venues should be, if you could find a venue where you have a partnership, right?
Yes.
Between your cost, so it brings down your hard cost, but the better you do, the better they do. So that they have an interest in promoting it, right?
Sure.
But it doesn't work like that. But for WPW, it has been quite successful that they've been able to, because they have that enthusiastic, energized fan base that follows them everywhere, that they can make every venue they run very electric, and it works for them. Primo's, on the other hand, right? They're going back to the Chinese Cultural Center for Splatterhouse this Friday. Give him credit. He's had success there. It's an interesting venue.
Yep.
That's where he was running early last year, and then he stopped running there. And I think in Player One's case, I think he experimented with, okay, where do we go from here? Maybe we try Pyramid Cabaret, because then we can go for all ages. Maybe we go to that church.
Church in Osborne.
Yeah, Fort Richmond, or Fort whatever the church
Fort
was.
Fort Rouge United.
Fort Rouge United, yes. And then they, at one point, were running that community club in St. James that they may not have had the right insurance for, whatever reason they're not running it. It's not important. So he's tried to find the right formula. So he's trying to find the venue that he can create a home in, right?
Yes.
So he's going back to where he had some success before. He's really done well at getting some help from local. Like, there are guys on that show that he's got. He's got AJ Sanchez against Billy Blaze in the main event for the 204 championship. He's got the Cannon Corporation against Sweet Cheeks, which is Bobby Schenk. And
Josh Cheeks Holiday?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's got the debut of Jackson Conway.
That'll be great.
Yeah, great talent there. So it'll be interesting to see if that helps galvanize his effort. You know, he's bringing in a lot of guys that are sort of established that aren't necessarily his core guys. And I think it'll work for him very well. I think he's going back to a venue he's comfortable in. He probably knows how to promote his fans to go there. I thought he was doing well at the Pyramid.
Yep.
In January,
it's a small venue, right? The Pyramid's pretty small.
But I heard he put 225 in it in January.
Well, that's not bad, though.
So it looked, it was packed.
Yeah.
He had lighting issues there. That's not his fault. That's a venue issue. So for whatever reason, though, he's not running there. One day, Primo's is going to find that venue that just works for them.
Yes.
And I think it will be the Chinese Cultural Center, where he's running Splatterhouse this Friday.
So while we're on the topic of Primo's, how would you rate Billy Blaze as the new booker? Because I think he's doing like, and of course, we're doing it in the frame of Primo's. I think Billy Blaze is doing an A-plus job as a booker, turning that ship around from where it
you can't really judge a booker by the first three shows.
Okay.
Right? And I'll tell you why. And he's been there longer than three, so you got to listen to the whole answer. So Billy Blaze has, I want to be careful what I say. He created consistency, yes. Guidance, and leadership, which was sorely, sorely needed.
He stopped the hemorrhaging.
Yes. Well, whatever. Yep. There might have been blood on the shows. We don't know. But he provided, so I think he's been the booker for about five shows, and I see a more consistent effort and logic behind what he's trying to do. So I like what he's trying, like what he's accomplishing. Remember, it was in January when he had Hollywood Haley J, and he had Marty Skrull.
That's right.
And that was, he created a buzz, partly I think around Hollywood Haley J, and I think it just, everything was coming together for them, right?
Yes.
So now that was kind of the, really the transitioning point for Billy as the booker. And now I think what they're going to do, I think Billy's a great champion for him because he's believable.
Yeah.
Looks like a North End tough guy in Winnipeg, which is
sure does.
Yeah. So he's going to win most fist fights. He can wrestle. He's, you know, a good leader for that company. So I think he's doing a good job. There's still the stigma of, well, it's Primo's.
Yeah.
But I think it's Primo's trying their best.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that.
No, you can't fault them for it. If they're trying their best and they're putting their best foot forward, you know, in good faith, then give it a try and buy a ticket and check it out.
Yeah. I think really for them right now, when you put AJ Sanchez against Billy Blaze in a main event, you're getting one of Winnipeg's finest, you know, and actually what's the benefactor for Primo's right now is, as a sidetrack, there's so much good talent in Winnipeg. So, and that's a testament to AJ and the training school, the Elite Training Academy that AJ Sanchez and Kevin Cannon put together. They have developed enough talent to fill more than one roster.
No doubt.
And you think about it, Sammy Peppers and Bryce Bentley, James Roth.
Cheeks,
yeah. But you could name off six or eight more. But that talent, not only, it's enough talent to fill two or three rosters between Primo's and WPW and CWE. Very effectively.
No question.
Yeah. And that's a testament to good talent. And then Billy and Player One have brought them, you know, book them all and try to use them accordingly to make Primo's, it's trying to bring Primo's up. You know, Primo's uses mental a lot. Smart move.
Yep.
Bobby Schenk, great choice. So I like what's happening here. Still, you know, you think about it, CWE, what they do is iconic.
Yeah.
They've done it for 15 years.
And it's different than anybody else. That's one thing that they have in their, I mean, locally, feather in their cap. Nobody else is doing big tours. Nobody else is doing cross Canada.
Like, well, when he does those, he switches out the roster from, so if you look at what he uses in Saskatchewan and Alberta, you'll see Vance Nevada, you'll see Bobby Sharp, you'll see Kamikaze.
Yep.
In Winnipeg, you see that core group of guys that they've really developed. In Ontario, you'll see him mix up the Ontario guys. He'll bring in a Savio Vega, a Jacques Rougeau, an Ultimo Dragon. Good formula. Leon Lacombo is going to be debuting on his second, or returning for his second tour coming
up. That's a huge get. I'm such a fan of that guy.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you think about it, CWE has really figured out what their fan base wants, right? And it works. It works for them. I think they're on a run of, in Winnipeg, They've sold out Rookies, I think, two or three times in a row. Holy Eucharist, they're drawing really good crowds. So they're pretty confident going into the spring. When they go on their next tour, they announced that there are dates for, I think it's a four-province tour, starts in Ontario and goes all the way to Alberta in June. So they're going to continue to do what works every couple months. Go back to those towns, keep building. And it's worked.
And Savio Vega coming in, I mean, that's a great get as well. It's not somebody that... It's, you've been around Winnipeg wrestling for, I don't want to say how many years, but a lot of years now. You've been privy to the times where people were bringing in a lot of these, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but they're bringing in a lot of these legends, WWE legends that couldn't really do much anymore.
I've done it too.
I know, but now we're getting treated to you know, the rosters, the people that they're bringing in, these are people that can go.
So, in fairness,
these aren't honky tonk men. Yeah. No offense to HTM.
In fairness to what you just said, I was around from 95 to 2010 pretty consistently. And after 2010, I observed. I didn't really have my, you know, sword in the fight. So every guy is going to bring in, everybody who promotes at some point, maybe not WPW, is going to bring in a legend.
Yes.
Primos is bringing in Buff Bagwell. They're going to Thompson with him June 21st. I think that's the first day of summer. They're having him at their store in Grant Park, which opens up in May.
And I'm excited about that. So maybe I'm talking trash here or something.
So CWE benefits from the legends they bring in when it's Mounty and when it's Savio and Ultimo. Like, there's a certain value to bringing in that iconic guy that we all grew up on.
Yes.
Whether that's Brutus the Barber Beefcake, whether that's Bushwhacker Luke, who is
Jake
a good
Roberts.
Friend of mine. Jake Roberts. You can get that. I had Nikolai Volkov, and he looked like the late Nikolai Volkov. I'm sorry to say this. He looked like everyone's grandfather, right?
Yeah.
When I did it in 2010. When you do it, you're sitting there thinking, okay, what nostalgia act will pop your crowd, right?
Yes.
So it's no different than if you go after the indie darling that everybody knows and everybody wants to see that's on the rise, or you go after, you know, somebody that that headlined, had a feature match in WrestleMania 3 or 4. That's what you're thinking about when you book in a legend. So you're trying your best to give the people something they want to, not only, it's not about paying $25 to go see the show. It's about, do I want to invest 3 hours of my time, which could make me tired at work, tire me out for tomorrow? Is it worth the night out? That's the thing. Because when you think about it, two tickets is $50. Well, if you go to a movie and you buy popcorn, you buy the soda.
You're there
over $50. If you go out for dinner, you're going to be over $50. So when you're thinking about what it is that people want to see, the dollar value, as long as you're not grossly overpriced, the dollar value isn't as important as what made them select that as their night out.
Yeah, I mean, and you bring up an interesting point, too, with the dollar amount for the tickets versus a movie. I had somebody say this to me a few weeks ago. I didn't bring this up with you guys, but somebody was saying the $25 price point or the $30 price point is getting a little high. And I said, I would disagree. And I used the movie thing, but I also said, look, when you go to the movie and you pay for that, you're $50, but Bruce Willis is not in the ring getting his ass kicked. That extra money is going towards these guys who are sacrificing.
Let's rewind, because there was a time early episodes of Bee's She's.
Here we go.
Where I used to say, you can't be priced more than the movie theater.
That's right.
For the ticket to enter. I used to say that.
Things have changed.
I also said that you should be looking at what your professional sports teams are charging. So if the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, which is an American Association of Baseball team, if their get-in price is 14, you should be trying to match 14, right? And I believe that. If you're looking at CFL football, it's going to be $24 on a season ticket package, $27 as a regular game day ticket to get into the building. Winnipeg Jets, you're looking at $65, $70 to get in. If you're looking at Manitoba Moose, which is AHL, it's minor league, it goes down a little bit. The thing with wrestling, the economics, the economy of scale means in order for us to do it, and I did a lot of homework, in order for us to be able to put together an event, and I'm knowing it right now with Wrestling United, if you're not in that 25 range for your base ticket, it really doesn't work, because when you have a venue and you have advertising, you have to pay the talent a fair payoff?
Yes.
How are you going to do that on a $14 ticket? With the Gold Eyes, they own their building.
Even at $25, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, Mike, but at $25 with Wrestling United, and you've got a, intimate knowledge of this, even at that $25 price point, is that still challenging given that, the state of inflation, let's just go with that, call it that for argument's sake, the state of inflation where everything's costing a lot at $25, is it making it tight for you as somebody who's trying to make the show work?
Oh yeah. It could be tight. It could be a money loser.
Right.
Right. Let me tell you, you're sitting there and you're putting it together and you're crunching numbers every day because the number will change and you're looking at it and you're going, okay, well, one thing that's very good right now in the local market is everyone is charging the minimum rate now that you'll see is, I think Primo's does a $20 general admission and WPW has set this bar at, I think it's just over 30. as their get-in price. CWE and Wrestling United, you'll see the price are pretty close. I think they're almost bang on for the get-in price. So you got to make sure you're giving a lot of value for that price.
Well, speaking of Wrestling United, let's stay on that topic. 4 weeks out, who's the main event? I haven't heard anything yet.
I wasn't quite done my last point, but I'll go to this one.
Yeah, who is it?
Well, Ethan,
I'm coming at you.
Ethan Page will be in the main event.
And?
Oh,
he's keeping it close to his chest, is he?
I think if I was ready to, because last week and 2 weeks ago, we broke big stuff.
Right.
Ethan Page, and then we broke El Fantasmo. It won't be Ethan Page versus El Fantasmo. So if you thought that, nope, it's not going to be that. Two separate matches for two guys that I think are out of this world in terms of marketability. One for El Fantasmo, very active in New Japan. Friday night he wrestled in Chicago at the Windy City, I think they called it the Windy City Riot for New Japan.
Yeah, those two guys are and Ethan, premier
yeah.
athletes.
So when you're talking about Ethan Page, you want to have somebody that you're going to really, you want one of two things. You either want somebody that's going to make everyone go, wow, what a match, similar to what WPW did with Matt Cardona, or you want it to be something where at the end of that match, you've made somebody or you've elevated somebody or you've, or even to yourself, proven that somebody is way up a scale,
yes.
right? And that's not easy to do. So it's going to be, we have some, we still are putting together deals to get, to fill the roster
so
out.
So we've got irons in the fire is what you're saying.
Well, I know what it's going to be. I'm just not ready to say.
Okay.
Sorry to posture, but it's
fair enough.
I'm just not ready to announce it today. But I think the fans will be floored by it. It's exciting for me what's happening right now. Like I told my partner, Zach, and I closed the deal. I remember, I think it was the day we got El Fantasmo. He was on me. He's like, are you going to, what? Where are we at with this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy? I said, well, I'll tell you, it's like free agency in pro sports. You're making a deal. So you're not, one, are they available? Two, you know, are they going to be like not only available on the date, but is there going to be any resistance to them doing the show?
Yes.
And then how does it slot in with what you've got? This week we announced TJ Cannon. Huge response on TJ Cannon. It actually blew me away how much of a response TJ Cannon got. I was really excited by that. And when we're putting it together, every piece you put together is like a puzzle. It's actually good right now when you're starting from square one to put a roster together and your only goal is, hey, I want this to be different than what fans are used to, but in a good way.
Yeah, and that's a good way to look at it as a positive. You're putting together a unique roster of unique individuals.
Yes.
You're not giving the same thing.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, every guy that we bring in is going to be extremely talented because I'll tell you, I had something that I internally where it was like they had to meet a certain talent threshold to be on the show. So we did that. We went out and got guys that I knew had good, like we're going to meet that talent threshold. Then the next thing is, okay, you got all this group. How do you put it together so it's like, wow, right? Because people are going to be paying $25. Last thing you want them saying is, it wasn't quite worth it.
Yeah.
Wasn't worth my time or it wasn't worth my money. Both are a negative. So it's come together really nicely. But today I'm not quite ready to announce the main event. I will say Wednesday is 4 weeks out from the show.
Okay.
And I would imagine, Wednesday might be a good day for us to announce something.
Keep an eye on social media.
But if we don't
media.
Announce it Wednesday, I would imagine we'll announce it Friday. Because it's, in my mind, it's done. In every conceivable way, it's done. I just am not ready to say the words right now.
This episode of Bee She's Wrestling is powered by First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store, where you'll find the coolest sports cards, autographs from your favorites, and of course, wrestling collectibles galore. As a loyal Bee's She's Wrestling listener, you can get a discount on your purchase using the code Bee's She's. That code is BEEZSHEEZ, one word, to get 10% off. Visit the store online, firstrow.ca, or instead of click and order, go brick and mortar. Meet the guys at First Row in person, 1835 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store.
Welcome back to Be She's Wrestling. I don't know. Everyone is saying it's amazing creative that WWE just did with WrestleMania, and the creative department is getting a ton of credit for the build and then the payoff to the story. And the story's over. Cody's the new heavyweight champion, WWE World Champion. And I don't know if that was the right move, but I think there was no wrong move, because that's how good creative has been for WWE.
Does Cody lose steam after this though? Because I can't attribute this to somebody because I don't remember who said it, but some legend was saying that he sees everybody turning on Cody Rhodes inside a year and booing him out of the building.
I don't see that.
I don't either.
Okay, so to me, Cody is a throwback to, he's a little bit more charismatic than Bret Hart when Bret Hart was the WWF champion in the 90s. But that was at a business low time. Business is red hot. He's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's not The Rock, but that's actually a good thing.
He's not Roman Reigns.
And the thing is, he doesn't have to go on a 3-year run as champion, right? You can keep Cody champion till Survivor Series and have him get screwed out of the title at Survivor Series and keep him hot because he got screwed.
Yes.
Right? The thing is you got to line up the heels to work with him. And whether that's AJ Styles, whether that's Brock Lesnar returning, whether that's...
And Brock Lesnar is the one I kind of see happening. No, I haven't read anything.
I don't think so.
I think they
bring Brock back, but I don't think it fits there. I actually think Brock is going to be used now differently. I think he's going to be used to elevate guys. He's going to be brought back, and it's going to be, okay, we want you to make Gunther, or we want you to make whoever, right?
Probably
Gunther.
Yeah.
But so what I think is going to happen is I think Cody... he should be so hot right now, but there's a hangover after you get so invested and he's got to win it now, right? He had to win it last Sunday at WrestleMania, because if he didn't win it at WrestleMania, then he now becomes a secondary player because he has to go down to come back up.
Yeah.
You can't leave him for a third year that as the top guy waiting. So what I think has to happen is whether Logan Paul would actually be the guy to go head-to-head with Cody right now, but he's the U.S. champion. You can't do it. But after the draft, you got to get that guy that's going to make people want to pay to see. You have The Rock set up. I think you wait till to SummerSlam to do Rock and Cody. Make it a tentpole main event. So what I would say is you have Gunther. Am I saying that funny?
No, that's the way
you... You look at me funny when I say it. You have Gunther, you have...
Well, now you said it differently. You've said it two different ways now.
I've said it three ways.
Three different ways, okay.
People are wondering, like, somebody asked me if I've got a hearing problem because I sometimes don't hear the names the same way.
Right.
But I think I don't. I don't know. Maybe...
how would you know if you can't hear?
So I think you got to have... And I think creative will know what heel they're going with, but I think you have to have them go down a notch for the next pay-per-view, then up a notch.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of traditionally how things would go after Mania.
And then
Mania.
You set them up for Rock at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
If you do Rock at the next pay-per-view, you got to keep opponents at that level.
Well, Rock's going away as well. He mentioned on Raw that he's going to be going away for a little while. So that's, I think we won't be seeing Rock for, I don't know how long we'll be seeing him, but...
Bring him back for SummerSlam.
Yeah, and I think that's good because you don't want to start overexposing that character, the Rock character, especially this new heel character that's a little bit old school, a little bit new school. You don't want to oversaturate the market with that.
Tama Tonga debuted.
Yeah.
And that was really good. I think I'm not worried about what WWE does next because they've been hitting for 2 years. Everything has been building. So now they've paid it all off over 2 years as opposed to one, or over 2 years instead of 3 months. So now they just got it's a brand new build. And that can be very exciting as long as they do it right.
Well, there's something interesting, too, that we should talk about with Mania, and it's more around Seth Rollins, given, you know, that he's lost the title, but then he came back the next night in the Shield gear for that match with Roman, and he's wearing the Shield gear, and he hits Roman with a chair. That's the long-term storytelling. It's the reverse of how it was before, when the Shield broke up. So that's something that was not being caught before. In the old WWE, these old little tie-ins that were there were not being caught. Somebody caught that tie-in and was like, hey, we can do this, and it's going to tie that together from 5 years ago.
I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't the talent pitching it.
It could be.
Because one thing I know about talent is they know what they've done better than the writers will ever know what they've done. The writers know what they want them to do, and the writers might know what they did recently, but they won't know what they've done long term.
Yeah.
So when you might have Seth Rollins or Roman coming up with this idea going, what if we tie this back way back like this, boom, 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 boom. And then the writer goes, yeah, that would work, right? And it's not a writer's fault that they can't remember that. They got to remember 30, 40 different characters. And they got to remember, okay, we did this last week on TV. We did this last week on TV. We're going to do that. They've got so much going on right now that they can't remember history quite right.
And there's a turnover at writers too. Like writers in WWE don't necessarily last, you know, 10 years. Mm. They, you know, typically last 2 to 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, a new writer now in WWE is not going to maybe not going to remember the Shield splitting up.
Yeah. So the other thing is, what does Drew McIntyre do after he won the title and lost it in Money in the Bank? Does he go off as a heel?
Well, they've got it set up with CM Punk now. On Raw, CM Punk screwed him again.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be where they go with it. It's going to be Drew McIntyre and CM Punk when Punk's...
Now, okay, so writing has been so good because they've got so much depth. How much wagon do you want to hitch to CM Punk when he's been injured pretty much, I would say, 70% of the last 2 years?
That's why I wonder about the Drew McIntyre thing. Not that Drew McIntyre's a step down, because he certainly isn't. But CM Punk was sort of positioned right up there with Roman Reigns upon coming in, as he should be.
And Cody. Yeah.
And Cody. But now I feel like they're taking a step back with Punk. They're going to see how this goes with McIntyre. And then they'll figure out where we're going to go with Punk. I think they're going to see if he's got the durability to do this.
Yeah. And does LA Knight become the top guy on SmackDown?
If it's me, yes, most definitely.
Okay, that's going to be interesting. There's so many ifs, ands, or whats. That's what's going to make people watch, is to see how they start connecting the pieces after the draft.
An embarrassment of riches at talent, as we've said.
And that only happens when creative can get one guy super hot, which was the Bloodline, which was Roman, and that peripherally created all those extra spots that made Cody a very viable top babyface. Okay, so when booking, something to consider. People have always thought, do you need a top babyface or do you need a top heel? Okay, what, it's chicken and the egg. Which one do you need more? Well, you need the top heel.
Yeah.
The heel has to make people mad so that they love the guy that comes back and kicks ass.
Exactly.
You can't love the guy to kick. The only time it's operated differently than that twice in two different eras. Hulkamania was the babyface who really was never going to lose the title until he lost the title 4 years in. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, who might lose the title, but he's going to win the fight.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. So now with what WWE has is, do they have strong enough heels? Because they have the baby faces.
I think they've got strong enough heels, especially with guys like LA Knight, who's not a heel right now.
I don't think he's going to be a heel.
But he could be, and I don't think he's going to be either, but he is extremely capable of being a very good heel. Cody Rhodes, who is a face... And I'm not saying you should turn him heel, but I think he's got a really good heel in him. I think that's there. There are guys I think that you can turn pretty quickly and make them. And again, Brock Lesnar, a guy that they bring back, they could bring him back as whatever. They can bring him back as a face. It doesn't matter what he did. Brock Lesnar is bulletproof. So if they bring him back and position him as a face, nobody's going to say, well, what about when he did this? Not. It's just going to be accepted. So
I think he should be a heel.
I do too.
I think he should be used to make baby faces other than Cody. But that's just me. One thing I'll tell you, though. Clash at the Castle is in June in Glasgow. And I think that's where Drew figures in big time.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably... He might get a title match, or he might be him versus CM Punk there, but it's going to be built around Drew at Clash at the Castle, I would think.
So what do you think of Damian Priest as the new heavyweight champion?
You guys had told me a couple weeks ago he was going to cash in the Money in the Bank, and you thought it might be that he was going to be the next guy to win the title from Roman. And
I honestly thought it was going to be that.
I suspect he's the one that's going to get drafted over to SmackDown, because I can't see them moving. See, there's no value in Cody going to SmackDown when SmackDown is finishing up on Fox and then it's going to USA Network. You need Cody on Raw because Raw's going to Netflix and that's going to be the flagship show, guaranteed.
Yep, no doubt.
Way more money went to Raw than SmackDown. So I think Damian Priest is a heel, right?
Yep.
I think you're going to see him in LA Knight at SummerSlam.
That would be interesting. I don't know if they'll take Damian Priest away from his faction or not, but that faction maybe, I don't know, maybe it's starting to get tired.
Well, you got to, if you move Cody to SmackDown, I don't know, man.
I wouldn't move Cody to SmackDown.
No, because you need the stronger champion on Raw right now. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, now, AEW comes to the Winnipeg, to the Canada Life Center in Winnipeg, a part of a huge, talk about a week of wrestling. April 28th is Night at the Museum.
Right.
For WPW, Cardona versus Alexander. May 1st is Dynamite from Canada Life Center for AEW. And Friday, May 3rd, is CWE Point to Prove in Winnipeg. So one thing I can tell you is AEW is now over 3,000 tickets. They're not seeing a spike in tickets. I believe that they're going to get close to 4,000. I think there's going to be a late surge. I hope so. For their sake, they're about 2 weeks away. I think they've missed the mark. They have lost so much ground in the live event game that, and it's bad. It's honestly booking. Some of it's injuries. There's so many things you can point to and say, okay, they need to do this better. They need to do that better. They need to do this right. In Winnipeg, though, to lose, they went from 7,500 fans to now 3,500. That's what they're trending towards.
Yeah.
And it's not that the Winnipeg market is softer.
It's definitely
WPW
not.
Is stronger than it was a year ago. CWE is consistently putting out numbers. Primo's is up and down. I can tell you from the on sale of Wrestling United, we're not disappointed with our early ticket sales.
Not at all.
Okay. So something that's a good market trend when you see 50% of your audience evaporate like AEW did. They got to go back and they got to say, what were we doing right in December of 2023-22 when we put tickets on sale in Winnipeg and we sold 5,000 the first weekend? What were we doing right then that we're not doing right now? You got to go back. So sometimes when you lose momentum, and I heard Eric Bischoff say, losing momentum is death because it's so hard to get back. And it's true. When you have momentum, it's the easiest thing to gain. It's the easiest thing to maintain, but when you lose it, it's the hardest thing to get back.
Right. I'm going to put you on the spot again. I've asked you this question a couple times throughout this podcast at different times about All Elite Wrestling. But what would job one be for turning it around now? Because, you know, there's got to be a first step. Where do you start?
Stop worrying about what WWE is doing.
Bingo.
Stop trying to make them your rival and start, because the fans don't want rivalry right now. And I've been a guy that's promoted rivalry. I've been a guy that said we're better than them because we do this, this, and this. But that's not what the fan base wants right now. The fan base wants, and they know this,
yeah,
because they promote the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, which they use as a major sales piece to sell New Japan Pro Wrestling coming to All Elite Wrestling. So they know the fans don't want a rift.
Yeah.
He's won on every free agent battle. No, it might not even have been a battle, but he got Mercedes Moné. He got
Osprey.
Will Ospreay. He got Okada. He's winning that game. He knows how to say, this is the amount of money you're going to make, and it's better guaranteed than you'll make over there. So come here. You only have to work TVs twice a week. You don't have a bunch of house shows. Now, if you keep making it about what the other guy is doing when the other guy is hot, you're giving the fans what they need to compare you to. And when you can't compare favorably, it's death for your company. That's not a criticism. It's advice. So when you're sitting there and you want to be different then, but you don't want to compare to the one that's red hot. So be different then without comparing yourself to, because when they have momentum and you don't, you look weaker by saying whatever it was Will Ospreay said about Triple H on his promo. I don't remember the exact wording.
Yeah.
Or when you take the tape of CM Punk fighting with
Jack Perry,
and you're sitting there and you're like, there is nothing good coming out of this. Because even if you manage to make CM Punk look bad, what are you going to do? Can you make Jack Perry look good in it?
No.
Well, not really. The only guy that looked good in it, in my opinion, was Samoa Joe, who broke it up.
Yeah.
So,
and it makes you look weak. It makes you look weak. It makes you look, if you're not good at launching the shot, which AEW is not good at launching their shots, it makes you look bad. And then WWE has guys that are, you know, peripheral guys. I don't mean peripheral, but, you know, they're not, it's not their heavyweight champion. Grayson Waller and Dijak going on Twitter and launching these little barbs back that are hilarious. Of like they said, later today, I'm going to share exclusive security camera footage of myself and Austin Theory beating up the entire locker room backstage. It's time the world knows how tough we are. And then Dijak comments, it's true, I saw it. There's real glass everywhere. That's the real glass is a reference to the CM Punk and Jack Perry thing.
If I was WWE, I'd be asking them not to do that.
And maybe,
even though it's cute,
yeah,
it's just as petty.
But they launched a shot from their Twitter accounts that was better than Tony Khan launched with a videotape on his national program. That's my point. It makes you look bad.
I would want to know, honestly, whose idea it was and how was it sold to all the parties? Hey, we're going to do this. And it did. Hey, the rating went up a little bit.
It did. Yeah.
So if that's what the goal was, great. But what does it lead to that you can keep that number up?
Nothing. There's no return on that.
So in times like this, oftentimes what will happen is a booker will start shotgunning. Because shotgunning, everyone thinks, oh, well, we got to change the landscape very quickly. We got to show people that we know that things are need to change.
Can AEW shotgun any more than they already do, though?
Well, this isn't like 1988, where you can bring in Dusty Rhodes as a booker, or you can, you know, you're not going to scoop Paul Heyman away from WWE.
No.
So it's not like the old school where there's always that one booker that could come in and change the pulse of the company. It doesn't exist. Jim Cornette couldn't do it. No one could. And all the old school bookers are all
old.
Like Kevin Sullivan's not coming in to change anything. Eric Bischoff's not coming in. It's nearly 70 years old. So you got to sit there and you got to say, okay, how do we adjust our vision so that the fans will get back behind us? One of the problems is Tony Khan was seen as a hero to the fan base for a long time. When Vince McMahon was saying it's sports entertainment, we know what our fans want. This was finally someone who was going to be a fan, who listened to fans, who knew what fans wanted in Tony Khan. The problem is WWE has now graduated from the Vince McMahon era, and they're now saying pro wrestling. They're going to start marketing pro wrestling.
As they should.
And it's working. Their creative team is now in touch with what pro wrestling fans want. So Tony, being the most engaged super fan of the last 20 years before he started owning a company, needs to think, what can I do to engage the fan base? Problem is, and I'd say this as advice, he's got to realize that he's only thinking about his core audience, and he's got to think outside of that core audience. He's got to get creative. What he should do is figure out who is creative around him, let them have a run where he still has final say, and give the guys, whoever that guy is, a chance to tell him, this is where we're taking this product. And he's got to believe in that idea, that vision. He's got to change the vision. After 4 years, it's very hard to write that many hours on your own without getting burnout. But this isn't even burnout. This is an inexperienced guy who doesn't have the practical knowledge to know what to book next. And Dave Meltzer defends it. Dave Meltzer's awarded him Booker of the Year for X amount of years because of some vote that I don't know is legitimate. But realistically, he couldn't have been that good a booker those years. He was just riding he was riding momentum. He's got to do things differently.
Dave Meltzer is complicit in some of the nonsense that is going on in that, because he gives nonsense 7 stars or 6. How many stars are there now? Like, I don't even know. Like,
I don't even think, realistically, now that cagematch.net does the votes,
yeah,
I don't think anybody actually cares what Dave Meltzer says was 5 stars. Because realistically, there's actually people who are watching are voting, which I actually had an idea to do that as an app many years ago, where I was going to actually have fans who were that engaged have it on their cell phones as they're watching that, and they're giving stars, and they can change it right till the end of the match. So we can see in real time, hey, right now this match is trending at 4.25 stars.
Don't give away this idea. It's good.
Well, it was a great idea, but it was going to be costly as hell. I'm not going to do it. So we have a lot of great listeners. Some tech guys call me and I'll put it together for you. And I'm only telling you the nuts and bolts. But the idea was going to be that you could be voting on the match every minute, and we would know the exact trending point. If that match all of a sudden dropped off, what happened? It happened at this time, real time. And then I was going to sell back the data to the companies so that they would know, okay. And I was going to have a Tinder type of system where you could swipe if you liked a guy or swipe left if you didn't. And then you'd have real, based on your user, if you had 1,000 users, that's a good focus group.
Okay, so before we put a pin in this AEW talk, do you think that All Elite Wrestling has legs? Do you think that is it going to last?
It's got money and distribution. Now, assuming they get an extension, which I think they're going to get some sort of TV, as long as they have that, they will continue to exist. It will not change. It will only change if Tony hates being the butt of the joke.
Or if Shad decides he's tired of losing money?
No, because Shad...
It's a write-off for him, isn't it?
It's not even that. The guy is a billionaire and he put $100 million in. Even if he has to put a second $100 million in, It's not a huge...
Yeah, one less ivory back scratcher.
Well, and the thing is, he said, it's money that the kids are going to get when he passes. He's just giving it to them now. I don't think Shad Khan is sitting there looking at the numbers going, geez, it's Tony's baby. And I think Tony will continue to run it. Where I think Tony will get tired of it is if he becomes the blame of the decline. If that happens, I think he's going to really have some trouble with that. So I think if I were him, I would identify a new creative process and a new creative engineer and let that person do the deal. But let's go to the mailbag.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Two questions in the mailbag this week. Get yours on by checking out our social media, Total B She's on Instagram, B She's Wrestling on Facebook, and Total B She's on Twitter or X.
It's still Twitter to me, damn it.
It still is. He's still got the logo on his phone, folks. I can confirm. This one coming in from Nate. I'm a casual wrestling fan, but back around 2010, I was heavily invested in WFX, so I was excited.
Did I write this one?
Are you Nate?
Nate is real.
Oh, okay. So I was excited to discover the Mike Davidson talk show.
Oh!
There he is again.
This has got to be a Mike Davidson put over.
I guess so. I remember one taping, Billy Gunn was in the ring about to end his promo, and I could see Mike, backstage, I believe it was Mike, looking anxious, and when Billy ended his promo with "Suck It," Mike threw his headphones at the monitor, swearing in anger. There must have been tons of headaches like that running those tapings. How realistic would it be to have another local show on the level of a WFX? Can any of the current local promotions ever do something on that level?
Okay. Thank you, Nate. That question made my day, and you sent it about a month ago. Sorry that it took us a little bit to get to it. WPW could do everything that WFX did, but with their own talent and their own flavor. I've said this for over a year. I said it directly to Devin that I thought that he was ready to distribute, whether that be Triller now, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Or one of those streaming services that specialize in wrestling, Premier Wrestling Network or whatever it was called. I think they changed their name. Clearly, I'm not doing homework for Wrestling United with those because I'm not sure of their names. First, I don't remember why I threw the headset on the Billy Gunn thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the night where that might have been the night where there was a problem with Kevin Thorne changing to finish. And if it's the night where Sabu and Bob Holly wrestled Kevin Thorne and Gangrel and APOC, who went on to be Rick Victor in WWE.
Yes.
If he came out and took the pin, I was actually very, very angry with Kevin Thorne, and Billy was right before he went out for the promo was told, and that, because Billy and Kevin Thorne were pretty close, and I let Billy have it. I think that's probably what it was. I didn't like the suckets for his character only because we were really pushing to family entertainment. And I was really, you know, it was, I just didn't like it. And we were trying to guide him away from that. We were trying to make him our top guy without that. But I don't remember what it was. I threw my headset a lot during those days. It was high stress. One thing I'll say, though, when you ask could anyone else do it, it might not be the same vision. But I know that I know that TV in wrestling, I know for a fact CWE has built an audience that spans four provinces. I think that they're probably looking at they're exploring their options. WPW is ready. Primos has done public access TV, so at some point they may try to do that again. Wrestling United, I don't know. To be very honest and very frank, I think the distribution, if you don't get the right TV package, if you can't find a way to fund it, the problem WFX had, we had syndication in a lot of American homes. We were on prime time in Los Angeles and New York and on Friday nights, but we couldn't translate quick enough the amount of homes and eyeballs we could potentially be getting into marketing dollars. It wasn't costing us a fortune to produce those episodes. Everyone says, oh, we blew the bank. We really didn't. We were in line to be operating at less than $100,000 a month or around $100,000 a month. Now people are going to go, that's extreme. To run TV, TNA is paying way more than that to produce weekly TV.
No, $100K a month is, yeah, is light.
To do, yeah, weekly TV with the star power we were doing, it wasn't that bad. We're cutting corners and putting it together differently than the other companies. It wasn't even $100,000. On a bad month, it was like $80,000. But there was a lot of, like, I would have to look at my notes to how that was. Like $100,000 is the high end of what we would be spending.
Okay, Nate, so I know you're listening. If you remember what show it is, message Mike back.
Yeah.
Let him know a couple of matches. Yeah. We'll put him on the spot again.
To wrap up what I was saying, I don't know. I think there will be, with all the popularity of wrestling, I think there will be a Canadian indie that has TV that's pretty massive. I think both WPW or CWE are primed for that. I think that it'll be interesting to see. I would love to see it.
Okay, and well, while we're talking about indies, this one comes in from Matt, and it's sort of linked to the indies in a way. Matt says, WWE would never do this, so I'll ask this in regards to AEW. Would it be valuable for AEW to foster a loose relationship with some of the larger indies, not the small ones, but the ones like MLW, sorry? And would it do anything for AEW? Would it do anything for MLW, for example?
No.
I don't think, personally, I think they should do it. AEW should do it for them, but it would not value MLW the way it would value All Elite, because then All Elite's got a pipeline to new guys that are coming up. Court Bauer is a genius when it comes to finding talent. They can sort of take the good talent from MLW. Would Court Bauer go for that? Personally, I say no. What do you think?
I think that AEW did it wrong when they were starting, and immediately they took MJF from MLW, and then there was nothing in return. And I don't think you're going to see Billy Corgan or Court Bauer or TNA want to do any kind of, I think that they're all looking at what's happening with All Elite right now and seeing that the weaknesses are being exploited, and it's prime time for one of them to step up. It's bad for the industry if AEW slips out of the number two slot. It's very bad. They need to keep TV because the contrast between AEW and WWE plays very fortunate for WWE, and it's also good for a wrestling fan to have the option. I would like to see one of those other companies get national TV, TNA, or like in a bigger carrier. Bigger,
yeah.
And I would love to see MLW improve their distribution. But I don't think it would work if you all work together, except for maybe one night a year.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's what he's talking about with a loose relationship. It's kind of like WWE has a very, very loose relationship with TNA now, where they're...
I think they're exploring more options on that.
Yeah, I think they might be as well.
I think, though, it's an interesting concept if you did it one night a year and you put... See, I had a different concept. I had a concept where you put all of them in one match of their own on the same show. And the fans would get a smorgasbord almost of all those companies. It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know if it's an interesting idea, but I think that AEW did it wrong when they started. They didn't work with them to foster those smaller companies.
Yeah, it wasn't done in good faith.
Maybe not. Yeah. Okay.
The only one I could see, and I mean, we'll move off of this, but the only one I could see possibly even going for something like this would be Billy Corgan with the NWA, because they've lost so much steam.
But they're starting to get it back on CW.
Yeah, they are.
So if Billy Corgan could get the NWA World title defended on an AEW TV or pay-per-view, it would be good for Corgan, and it might be a little bit good for AEW. One of the things I found out on, I think it was Bischoff's podcast, he was talking about how he had an idea on the Ric Flair retirement show to have Dustin Rhodes get the NWA World title as a nod to Dusty. And that would be awesome.
I would love to see that.
But it would only work if Tony Khan blessed it.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a concept that never got anywhere, but it interesting concept. Either way, whatever it is, I would say I'm all for companies working together as long as it works for all the companies equally and not one benefits and the others don't.
All right, there you have it. And again, you want your questions on Instagram, Facebook, and
send us
Twitter.
A voice clip for crying out loud.
Yes, please send us a voice clip. And even if you want to throw in a few shots at the Mecca, maybe Boy, Mike Davidson.
Nate didn't take a single shot at me. I love Nate. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Not a single shot. Maybe you want to talk about me. Send a voice clip in. I might edit it out, but if it's good, we'll keep it in.
I want to go to the event center.
This is your Bishi's Wrestling Event Center. We start in British Columbia. Friday, April 19th, Thrash Wrestling is in Trail. Saturday, April 20th, Big West Wrestling is in Enderby. Saturday, April 20th, 365 Pro Wrestling comes to Victoria. Saturday, April 20th, All-Star Wrestling is in Cloverdale. Saturday, April 20th, Thrash Wrestling comes to Nelson. Saturday, April 20th, Big West Wrestling is in Falkland. We shift to Alberta. Friday, April 19th, Real Canadian Wrestling is in Calgary. Friday, April 19th, Best Entertainment Wrestling is in Lloydminster. Friday, April 19th, Can-Am Wrestling comes to Innisfail. Saturday, April 20th, Real Canadian Wrestling is in Erskine. Saturday, April 20th, Can-Am Wrestling comes to Olds. Sunday, April 21st, Real Canadian Wrestling is in Radway. Over in Saskatchewan, Saturday, April 20th, Prairie Pro Wrestling comes to Saskatoon. And into Manitoba, Friday, April 19th, Primo's Wrestling is in Winnipeg. Saturday, April 20th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite comes to Amaranth. And we shift south of the border. Saturday, April 20th, Below Zero Wrestling comes to Dickinson, North Dakota. And that has been your Bishi's Wrestling Event Center.
Wow, Shane Madison is on holidays and still filed one of the largest event centers I can recall. Great job to the Mecca, Shane Madison. How about Kat Von Hees, who debuted on Ring of Honor TV this week?
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, amazing for her. Hopefully it leads to something more regular for her. She was the winner of the Loot Academy last year for Jacques Rougeau.
Her in that promotion makes a lot of sense to me. Like there's so many people for her to work with.
She's been, I think she's been wrestling actively, like
a long
regularly
time.
Over 10 years. So, hey, it's the right time for her to get a break. The next show coming up in Winnipeg is the Primo Show Slaughterhouse. Get out and support your local indies. That's why Shane Madison does the event center. And thank you to producer Chris. And for Shane Madison, who's not in studio, I'm Mike Davidson. In the meantime and in between time, that's another edition of Bishi's Wrestling.